Major funding for the connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. You might not know it, but from the crooked old alleyways of Lahore, Pakistan, rhythms of Asia, a little more complicated than rock, unusual, seductive to the Western ear. The band Janoon has been building its base in South Asia for the past dozen years. The mix of politics and music never far from the stage with these musicians. They've been both praised and criticized in their public push for harmony between India and Pakistan, for example. Since September 11th, a new window for the band, as they discover a West that seems more eager to understand its Eastern neighbors. And underneath it all, a lyric of Sufism, a call from the ancient poets to love, to embrace the power of music. And from the band Janoon, a fusion of sound from the traditional to something more contemporary. As I mentioned, is called Janoon. It means passion, and this group's passion beyond wealth, fame, and happiness is the chance to use music to penetrate the intolerance of politics. So, Connection listeners, join us. Can that music have that effect today? Can the artists accomplish what the politicians cannot or will not do in opening up attitudes about different people, different sounds? Our number's 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. And I'll take this moment to introduce the five members of Janoon who are packed into the studio with me. Salman Ahmad is on lead guitar. Salman, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dick.
Ali Azmat is lead vocals and is over on my left shoulder. Go to our webcam. In fact, you can maybe keep track of this on our website. On electric bass, Brian O'Connell.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. On drums, Jay Didimo. Thanks for coming in. And on dolak and tabla, down on the floor, almost out of sight from where I'm sitting in my chair, Ashiq Ali. Welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm fine. And thanks to all of you for coming in. This is a new American tour, Salman, that you're on. This, what's it called now, Passion for Peace?
Mm-hmm.
A play on the name of the band, Janoon, yeah?
Yeah, Janoon means passion in Urdu. And we've been sort of really the huge paradigm shift of consciousness because of 9/11.
11/9 is how it's said in Pakistan.
Yeah, okay. You know, outside the United States, I think everywhere the sort of the date comes before the month.
Let's not tell them though; it'll just.
Okay, sorry to confuse you.
It's like driving on the other side.
Yeah, and the on-off switches.
Yeah,
We felt very strongly about the fact that there needs to be a dialogue between Islam and the West. And for me, growing up in the United States, going to junior high school, going to high school, and being in a band which embodies this multicultural, multi-religious, multi-ethnic makeup, it's very important for us to put ourselves out there. So Passion for Peace is taking us into colleges, into schools, and what we're doing really is letting the music speak for itself.
Now, these are audiences that you didn't have a year ago, 2 years ago, not to the extent that you have it today. I mean, that's one of the effects that, or one of the features that you've done with Janoon. You're actually speaking, not to a South Asian crowd in America, but you're speaking to a much more diverse crowd in this country.
Absolutely. I think the audience has changed, but the message hasn't. We've been singing about living with sort of paranoia, grief, terrorism. Like Pakistan is in the eye of the storm after 9/11, but we've been dealing with terrorism for the last 20 years, more than 20 years, because we've had right-wing fundamentalist extremists basically set the agenda for the country and keep a silent majority of Pakistanis, a majority which has been just browbeaten into submission. And so our music was a response to that.
In fact, there's a song that I'm just looking for it in my notes here, the one called No More. Mm-hmm. We're rather than have you guys play that here in the studio, we're going to listen to a little bit of it off disc. But first of all, just tell us how this came about, because the lyrics here are English. Is that right, Salman?
That's true, yeah. It's a song which is a collaboration between a New York musician, Pilar Levine, and myself. The poetry is. And we're bridging the two cultures together with this and saying no more to terrorism.
Let's listen to a bit. That song is heard in Pakistan. You normally perform in Urdu. Here you're singing in English, but there's certainly nothing about the kids in Pakistan that makes them steer away from an English song. How is it received?
Well, first of all, the kids in Pakistan are crazy about rock and roll. And along with the tradition, traditional music, Western rock has permeated Pakistan through satellite, through pirate cassettes. And although there was a fear that we might alienate our own audience, the response to No More is amazing. It's been on all the Janoon websites that fans have made, and the fans really, you know, they resonate with the message of the song.
I want to go back a little bit, though, because you started Janoon in 1990, is that right? Now, you were playing on the streets of Lahore at that time at the opening of an ice cream shop when you got the first idea. You have since been living, most of you, and playing in Karachi. These are two cities that I've visited as a correspondent, and I'm always visiting them because there's an election or because there's trouble at the mosque and I'm traveling around in the back of the ED ambulance to pick up bodies in some dusty square in Karachi. So I'm having a hard time imagining how easily welcome the music is in both cities, in the country.
Well, you know, music is a social taboo, not in the majority population, but the clerics, they've just been, you know, this is against God and it's not allowed. But what we did, Ali and I were both in Lahore. I was going to a medical school. And he was studying in another college, and just to relieve the boredom, there was no youth entertainment in the 80s. Mm. We had a military dictatorship, and our music, just making music, was a response to the lack of entertainment. And we had no plans of, you know, being, you know, forming a rock band or actually making albums. We just wanted to play music, but we found such a huge thirst for that among young people, like the ice cream store, the ice cream launch. This friend of mine had an ice cream store, and he said, "Look, you know, I want to do something different, and I heard you guys can play some, you know, rock music. Can you just come for an hour, and I'll give you free ice cream?" So we, and this was when I was in college. We were just college kids. We went and played there. The place was jam-packed. I mean, there was Lahore, it's a city where the word of mouth just spreads like wildfire. And before you knew it, this rock revolution started.
Now, Brian O'Connell on bass, you're originally from New York City. Karachi wasn't your first home.
No, it wasn't my first home.
But it is home now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I kind of shift between the two places. And this is where I met Salman. I met him in New York. His family was living here for many years. We shared a lot of musical growth. We used to play in the same garage bands and this and that. And when Ali and Salman recorded the first self-titled album, Janoon, Salman and I, of course, kept in touch, and he brought it over for me to listen to, And I was very, very impressed by, well, on a number of levels. But first, and this kind of music wasn't really happening over in Pakistan. So when they invited me over to help with the production of the second album, it was a great experience. And I since kind of dove into the culture and really believed in what we were doing over there. And 10 years passed, and 7 albums later, we're still doing it.
Do you find yourself, you and Salman, as kind of curious ambassadors for the United States when you're in Pakistan and ambassadors for Pakistan when you're in the United States?
Yes, I find myself wearing 2 hats. I mean, initially when I came over there, I think the population couldn't quite understand why this guy from America comes over, from the land of opportunity.
This Irish Catholic Christian from New York City.
Right. They didn't really have a form that I, you know. So, but by embracing the culture, I kind of set out a message that, you know, hey, this Westerner thinks that, you know, it's cool to be Pakistani. And so it was a very positive message. And I think it was very appropriate as well, too, because I do love the culture over there. It's a beautiful part of the world. And ambassador to Pakistan and to the United States. I find myself defending the United States a lot over there as well.
You mentioned that... he likes Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan and the Yankees.
Yes.
That's actually a marking point of your band, the Ali. Maybe I should be talking to you about Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, because you're the singer, and what an example Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan is for you.
Basically a huge inspiration to begin with, because that kind of music, when we started out, we were just basically into rock music and whatever was what was heard on like sort of Western airwaves, and Nusrat Fateh Ali was the first person that we actually got into and realized that the kind of the message it portrays, and the music, Qawwali music, was very similar to the rock music. It's very sort of a trance inducive, and the style of vocal, which is to be incorporated in rock and roll, to make another music genre altogether. And the kind of energy, the radiance that Nusrat Fateh Ali let out when he was on stage was just unbelievable, and that swept everyone away, and including me and the rest of the band. And we just realized that we just hit a gold mine.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more just about that unbelievable link between the Sufi poetry that you've got, the Qawwali singing that you bring to it, and the rock. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. You'd like to chat with us here. A little live music to end this segment, take us across to the next part of the program. This is Janu.
Boston University, this is WBUR.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection, and this is the Pakistani band Junoon playing Sayani. It means soulmate in Urdu. Is the name of the song. Janoon is the name of the band. They're live in the Connection studio as part of their Passion for Peace tour around the United States. And I was listening to that, Brian. I was thinking to myself, what a shift for a bass player not to just get that 4/4 American rock beat pounding out and follow, but to have to adapt to what's so much more intricate in Eastern music.
Oh, it's such a challenge, and it's really inspired me as a bass player to think of the instrument quite a bit differently, because the rhythms that we have in the East are far, like you say, much more intricate and much more interesting. So it's been a challenge and a lot of fun as well.
Now, the two songs, Salman, that we've just heard, one before the break and one after, Mitty was, that's words taken from Baba Bulla Shah, is that right?
Well, that album, Parvaz, that Mitty is off of, is dedicated to Baba Bulla Shah.
Okay, all right. Who is a 17th century Sufi?
Yeah, he's a 17th century Islamic Sufi poet who really kept the diversity of India, where Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, they all loved him. You know, he was all embracing. He wasn't into market share.
Mm.
And so that whole album is dedicated to him. There's three or four kafis, which are love poems, divine love poems that we have on the album as well. That Mitti means dust. And it's like ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
There's a part of the song that I want to read. I was just looking at the English translation of the lyrics. Everything you sing and I sing is going back to dust. Everything's going back to dust. Every secret we have between us is going back to dust. Everything is going back to dust. Now, in Sufi language, that's not depressing. That's supposed to be in some way uplifting.
Absolute transcendence. It is, in a sense, saying that we have a short journey here and we need to really be in the moment, celebrate life, for in the end it's a way station which we're going to go away from. And a lot of the Sufi poetry really talks about celebration of life, signs in the universe, harmony amongst mankind. And Baba Bulla Shah was a rebel because he actually was in a madrasa. He initially started with a madrasa, and one day, as he was doing his ablution, he asked the question, what's the point of washing my hands if my heart is not clean? And they kicked him out of the madrasa, you know, and they said, you can't question. Much like, you know, being kicked out of the church, you know, for asking a question. And he went out on the streets, and he wrote this really powerful poem, which sometime in the program we'll try to get to, saying, who am I? Which asked the question, you know, what is man? Is he good? Is he evil? And that message resonated so much with the subcontinent at that time, because this was 1750s. The British had just come in. There's a major political turmoil happening in the country, major power struggle happening. And so this poetry kind of reflected a lot of those concerns that people had.
It was also something of a private language that the British didn't share, which made it special at the same time. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Kalamazoo, Michigan. Ali's joining us on the line. Hi, Ali.
Hi.
Yeah, you're on the program. Go ahead, Ali.
Okay, my question is for Salman. This is Ali Beta from Kalamazoo. Like Salman said, the people of Pakistan have been fighting their terrorism for years. So how was it like starting a rock band in Pakistan? Like, rock band is the biggest sin over there. What problems they had in Pakistan?
Well, I guess you were sinners in the eyes of some people and not in the eyes of others.
Yeah, in the eyes of the sort of custodians of public morality, we were sinners. But amongst the public, you know, we were quite loved. Are quite loved.
But it changes also with the administration and politics. I mean, at some point you fall afoul of Nawaz Sharif or Benazir Bhutto, but it happens, doesn't it, that General Pervez Musharraf is either a fan of rock and roll or a fan of Janoon. What is it?
I think he recognizes that pop culture steers politics, you know, and he is a liberal man, no doubt. One of the big things that he's done is he came in 99, military coup, a bloodless coup, but the first thing he did was he opened the airwaves for dissent. Freedom of the press, freedom of expression. Prior to him, for the longest time, whether it was a military dictatorship or Democrats, they were just theocratic fascists. They were in, we did a song called Accountability, and I got a call from Benazir's government saying that don't bite the hand that feeds you.
You were taken off the air, weren't you?
We were banned for 2.5 years. Yeah.
Now, serious question here, because you know one of the more recent times that Karachi was in the news was the capture and murder of Danny Pearl, and here you are all from Karachi talking about the importance of good relations with countries like the United States. Does that put you or your families at any risk for carrying that message?
Well, Dick, I mean, that's if you live in a country like Pakistan or in the third world, that's something that you live with all the time, you know, dealing with terrorism, personal death threats. The ban has been given by all quarters. But it annoys us, infuriates us to see something like that happen in our own backyard, what happened with Danny Pearl, because, you know, no one deserves that. It's crazy. We've had sectarian violence in our own country where people have gone into mosques to murder Shias, or Shias have gone into mosques to murder Sunnis.
Yeah.
And the Danny Pearl thing makes international news, but all those people who die within the country don't even get a, you know, they don't even get a mention. So I just found this hypocrisy within our print media to, you know, it's because a journalist from the West comes, and so now he's, you know, he's being... he's been the symbol of sort of this terrorism, whereas in the last 20 years, we've had, I mean, thousands and thousands of people die because of terrorism. It doesn't get mentioned. We got a call from Judea Pearl, Danny's father, and he said, you know, we're celebrating Danny's birthday, October 10th, and we would love if Janoon would take part in this, because Danny was a musician himself, he was a music fan, and he listened to our album Parvaz while he was in Karachi at that time.
And you were in the United States on tour when that call came.
Yeah. So on October 11th, we weren't playing on October 10th, but we had a gig on October 11th in New Jersey, where we dedicated that show to Danny Pearl and all the victims of terrorism, whether it's in Afghanistan or Pakistan or the United States in the West, because we don't want to be seen as sort of somebody who just cares for one team. You know, we really believe that people need to have a dialogue, and terrorism is threatening both Islam and the West.
It puts you in a challenging position, though, because you know to be play the role of advocates for peace between India and Pakistan is a difficult place to be. There are real passions between those countries, Ali, and some people don't want to hear.
I think the majority of people are basically totally geared towards this total dialogue of peace. And because once people, you know, the Pakistan and India, the people of Pakistan and India have been looking at each other through a glass wall where you can see each other, but you don't really know where your soul is at. But once you do that, you know, break that wall and go to the other side, you realize that the people are the same and they want the same things. And not to defend Islam or, you know, any other thing that we stand for. But, you know, people in the world, everywhere in the world want the same thing, is to be understood and to realize, you know, that peace and friendship, it might sound, you know, a little boring, but that's how it is. People want to live in peace and have a cup of coffee with your Jew friend or a Hindu friend or a Muslim friend. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that which is unheard of and we're trying to bring out from the left field. It's there. It resonates within everybody, and we just voice our concerns because living in Pakistan, like I said, there is a silent majority which has been overrun by a minority who's just like come and make a lot of noise, and people just get scared because they don't want to get into any sort of mess or any sort of violent
silence
situation.
Is safe.
Exactly. Yeah. So just be silent and see what's going to happen. But we were the first people to come out and say, well, this is wrong. Let's create some awareness about that.
Let's hear a little bit of music. Our number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Next on my list is, you're going to help me with the pronunciation, Salman, Bulleya?
Yeah, this was the name of Baba Bulle Shah. And this is the poem that Rumi wrote this poem in the 12th century. And
he's a great favorite of this program, that.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a huge inspiration for me personally. Baba Bulle Shah took the essence of that poem and Punjabized it.
This is the one that you were talking about before, the Who Am I poet.
Exactly.
Poem. The opening line, I am no believer in a mosque, I have no pagan ways, I am not pure, I am not vile, I'm no Moses, I'm no Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Takes us through.
That's pretty heavy. I mean, and he was a rural dweller, and this is Bulleya.
The song Bulleya by Baba Bulle Shah. Bulleya, Who Am I? Is the start to that. Interesting, Salman, that the Sufi poetry that you lean on has so much to do with bridging Hinduism and Islam, because you could use that to your advantage if speaking to those two nations is something that you're trying to do, right?
Dick, it goes beyond Hinduism and Islam. Sufi poetry, like I said, these were mystics who went beyond market share, and they were looking for the mystical union, man and God, man and man. Your love for God has to equal your love for humanity. And I find that in today's turmoil in the Islamic world, where you have extremists who hijacked our religion, the only way out really is Sufism. Because Sufism is a philosophy and an ideology which embraces all things. It doesn't divide into West and Islam or Hinduism and Islam. And it's been kept down. I have to say that a lot of the Wahhabi philosophy, the Saudi philosophy, is totally against Sufism because it empowers people, it frees people, it makes them think for themselves. And it's an artificial clamp on the real spirit of Islam. Sufism is something that I think can combat this extremist threat that we have in Islam.
Brian O'Connell, is it an easy thing for someone who's not raised with it to hear, to project on stage? Is this something that took you a while to learn?
Well, I think what appeals to me as a Christian...
Got your echo out. You're okay.
I'm back in the room now. What appeals to me as a Christian about Sufism is, as someone mentioned before, what has successfully divided nations is the separatism that often happens from religions. You know, saying my God is better than your God, and this and that. And that's not what God had intended. At least my views as a Christian, that God should unite, the belief in God should unite people. And, you know, nowadays we have so many subdivisions and walls between different factions and different religions. So as a Christian, I the message of the Sufi poets resonates very strongly with me as well. And as far as being a Christian over in Pakistan, it's a great thing. I take influence from the Muslim population because of their devotion to prayer. It's very much a part of their life. Everything stops five times a day, and you get down and pray. Now, if we did that over here in America, I think we'd have a much saner and more organized place.
The name of the band is Janoon. We're listening in the background to one of the cuts off the new CD. This is Mukkai. Is that the name of the song?
Yeah, it's called, it's about the spindle. Going round and
the
round.
Spinning wheel?
Spinning wheel.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's saying that the revolutions have stopped, but my longing for you hasn't. And it's off the album Azadi, which means freedom.
The name of the group is Janoon. The name of the program is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. 1-800-423-8255 for you to join us. Let's listen to the music of Janoon.
The Connection is made possible by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
From Boston,
you're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. Our telephone number, 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. With me in the studio this hour, Pakistani rock band Janoon. Let's hear some of their song, Doshti. It means friendship.
Thank you.
Doshti is the name of the song, Janoon the name of the band. You guys should open for Imran Khan at one of these political rallies in Rawalpindi.
Well, it's weird. You know, he's the one who really got me into trouble. because I used to play cricket. And, you know, I went on a tour with the Pakistan team. He was the skipper. And then he joined politics. So he used... I wouldn't say he used me, but he said, you know what, you have such a voice in Pakistan, you should come to one of the political rallies.
Ah, you should become a supporter, a public supporter of Imran Khan?
Well, he wanted me to join the party, and I said, I don't have the party discipline. But Imran is, I think he's struggling to have create a party, and it's going to take a while, of people who are not professional politicians, you know?
Yeah,
from the heart, people
who believe in the country,
and want to do good. I mean, obviously they don't really have any political clout, so you know it's difficult.
And
it's
he's won his seat this time in the current election.
Tell me though, if you think that music makes a difference or can make a difference in politics. I mean, if you go back to moments in this country's history in the latter days of the Vietnam War, and where you listen to Beatles music, Imagine, Give Peace a Chance. I mean, people will point to those even today and say that those songs made a difference.
I think as the Vietnam War goes, I think civil society, party politics is one thing. And that's always crooked as far as I'm concerned.
Set it aside.
Yeah. Civil society. That's what I believe in, to have a constituency which is people just coming out on the streets out of belief and conviction, not to just pick up votes, you know? And I believe that music can make a huge change in Pakistan that way.
1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Nashua, New Hampshire, and Richa is on the line. Hi, Richa.
Hi. This is the first time I've gotten through, and I'm so glad I did.
Well, thanks for calling.
I just wanted to... I'm originally from India, and a friend of mine had introduced me to Janoon, you know, a couple of years back when I was back home.
Personally or on disc?
This was on disc.
Yeah, okay.
And I attended their last concert in Boston, and it was just, you know, wonderful. I mean, they've got great stage presence as well as wonderful music. And I just wanted to let them and I think everybody else know that, you know, it was their music that helped me recognize how similar the people of Pakistan are to the people of India. And, you know, it's a culture that we share. And it's just wonderful to know that they're back in the area. And I'd love to find out when they'd be performing in the Boston area.
We'll have something on our website about that, Richa. We're at theconnection.org. But I want to ask you what it is about the music that in some way in your mind distinguishes it. I mean, also, obviously it has that Eastern connection, the rhythm that is perhaps a little bit more familiar. But you're talking about it as something that works in this country as well.
I think for me, part of it is also, you know, living in here, it sort of resonates. It's sort of, you know, and I'm very much into rock, and there's such a wonderful combination of rock and the poetry of the East, you know, which I identify with as well. And
thanks a lot, Richa. You're making a lot of people very happy in this room. Got smiles on.
Yeah, I'm a friend of Watsala's. I don't know if you remember, but that's, you know, I'd come to the
in New Delhi.
Concert.
Yeah, I didn't. Yes. Yeah.
Richa, question for you: when you went to the concert, did you dance?
Yes, I did. I was, you know, not planning to, but I did.
You know, Dick, this is very interesting.
Yeah,
her friend in Delhi, Watsala, is she's probably the first Indian fan we had. She named her daughter Sayoni.
After the song.
After the song.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's pretty passionate.
And she's having a son, calling him Bulia.
The third one will be greatest hits.
Brian, can you help us on this idea of on the importance of the dance at the concert? Because this is a big deal. This is an important part of
Absolutely.
People coming.
And, I mean, historically in playing in Pakistan, because there is so little entertainment, it's a release. It's a celebration. And, the interaction between Janoon and the audience is very significant, and the kids just get up and dance. You know, it's harmless, but you know, it's very energetic. And often when we find...
Now, it's dancing similar to you'd see in the pit at the front of an American rock concert?
Nothing at all.
Oh,
like
okay.
It. You have to see it.
Well, be a little descriptive. Tell me
There's the flailing of arms and the jumping back and forth. It's usually a rocking from left to right, whereas in America we kind of headbang in a vertical plane. So it's very different, and it's such a celebration of energy that you must see it. So well, at the concerts,
we were at Belmont Hill High School 2 days ago.
Yeah, yeah. And people who have never, ever, you know, heard us before, they were going absolutely nuts. And we were seeing, you know, these American kids dancing in
the
Pakistani,
Bhangra.
Dancing the Bhangra.
The Bhangra.
The dance is the Bhangra. And,
yeah, yeah.
And I think the reason is the rhythm. Ashi, can you just play that rhythm for a second, the Bhangra rhythm? It works on the horizontal plane, on the shoulders.
Oh, keep playing.
Play karte hain.
See, it works now. Dick is getting up on the table. Fantastic.
Don't you love radio?
It's like...
I'm sorry, my Sari's getting caught around my knees.
It's like a boogie rhythm. It's like a boogie rhythm, but it doesn't have a perfect one. So the body automatically... You know, normally, like, I'm shaking my... like, I'm nodding my head right now for a rock beat.
Yeah.
This one is more like... It's like shoulders, swirling heads.
The
hips.
Arms were up.
Hips are shaken. And it's pretty amazing. I think the Sufis, when they started in the 12th century with Qawwali, they realized that in order to send out a message of tolerance and harmony, you need to get people all moving the same way.
It's also a free sort of, you know, it lets you lose, and you know, it's a kind of rhythm which makes you lose your inhibitions in order to, you know, to mentally free yourself.
I'm told you're somewhat responsible for this, Ali.
Yeah, yes,
Ali's the lead singer and a bit of a stage presence, I'm told. But is that you losing yourself as well in the lyrics?
Yes, I think it's very necessary. It happens naturally. I never really put on a show that way because the music sort of dictates the kind of body movement. And once people see you on stage do that kind of thing, is actually letting yourself go and not worrying about, like, you know, NSYNC or Britney Spears type of steps to any sort of in musical movement. It's basically free movement, and people, you know, they kind of get into it because it's kind of liberating, you know. It's actually, once you say that we are celebrating freedom and, you know, life and all that, and life is free flowing, it there's no count to it, really. So, you know, that movement sort of dictates itself within the music.
The Sufis would be proud. 1-800-423.
Oh, they beat us up.
You're safe. They're dead. 1-800-423-8255. Risha, thank you for your call to Sohail, who's calling in from Miami, Florida. Hi, Sohail.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks a lot for calling. Nice to have you here.
Mm-hmm. My question is for all three of the band members. They have performed in so many places and in so many instances. Which concert has been their most memorable concert and why?
That's a good question. These guys have been in China and Japan and Europe, and they filled Wembley Stadium. Here they are in the United States. Now, there's five in the room here. Would you guys agree on a memorable concert in answer to Sohail's question?
Actually, each concert that we do is a great concert, and for some strange reason we remember each and every performance for it. So it has each venue had its own endearing sort of memories to us.
Oh, wait a minute, that's so diplomatic, man. Hold on. No, I think it totally blew my mind when we played in Bangladesh in '99. This is a country which was part of Pakistan. Broke away.
Bloody war between the
bloody
two.
Bloody civil war.
Yeah.
Broke away, and we were singing the song Dosti. Friendship to 40,000 Bangladeshis. And
you're seen on the stage as Pakistanis.
We came as a Pakistani band.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't even understand Urdu because they speak Bengali in Bangladesh. We had 40,000 people doing the Bhangra, singing Dosti, word for word. It gave me goosebumps because it was on the anniversary of their independence that we went and played there. So this shows like that, shows in India. Belmont Hill High School was amazing for me because...
Well, I have a different take. The biggest, the most memorable show for me was Central Park. We played the summer stage, and we broke all attendance records there. And the reason it was memorable for me is because throughout this whole thing with Janoon, I always knew that this music could work over here.
When was the Central Park thing? Was it recently?
What was that, 3 years ago? 98.
98,
98.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had this place packed with New Yorkers and people who hadn't heard us before, and it was an instant connection. So I knew it wasn't just me that knew it would work there. So plus, I had my family there too. So that was kind of nice.
Brian's parents saw him for the first time.
Yes, yeah.
That's cool. Now listen, we've got about 3.5 minutes left in our program, and I have a little piece of paper here that says there's a song called
Khudi,
which we're going to close with here now. Mm-hmm. This anything that we should know about the song before we hear it?
This song is a poem by one of the greatest continental poets, Allama Iqbal. He was the one who actually
came up with the idea of Pakistan.
The idea of Pakistan. Yeah. And this is transcendence. It's Shaheen means the falcon. And he said the man should become the falcon and you know, just transcend. And this is about total freedom.
There's my mic back now. Khudi is the name of the song. And your band people have given us a translation which is better for than one that we had earlier, which is, raise the self so high that God himself will ask you, tell us your destiny. It's nice.
It comes from, if we have a minute or so.
You've got 5 seconds.
Predestination and free will coexist simultaneously.
The name of the band is Junoon. Can we just get a little bit of tabla to take us out here? Oh, I'm hearing it in my headset. Okay. The musicians with me in the studio, Salman Ahmad, Ali Azmat, Brian O'Connell, Ashik Ali, and Jay Didimo. Connection listeners, the band is playing tomorrow night and Wednesday at the Village Vanguard in New York City. Check out the remaining digs on our website. We're at theconnection.org. And the Village Underground, check that out.
Oh, good.